About an hour ago, we had Governor Doug Ducey in studio, and obviously the idea of masks and mask mandates was the first topic out of the gate. Speaking specifically about schools, one of the things we asked him about mandates and requirements, this is what he said.
In Arizona, there's no mask mandates. There's no vaccine mandates. There's no vaccine passports. I'm going to ask people to follow the law. They can also, of course, listen to the CDC and to their local doctor. I want people to use common sense. And remember, these are recommendations.
Joining us right now is the superintendent of public instruction, Kathy Hoffman. Ms. Hoffman, thanks for coming back on the show. How do you respond from what you heard of the governor this morning?
Good morning, Mike. Well, my first reaction to that is, what about in our elementary and middle schools, you know, our K-8 grade levels, where children under the age of 12 do not have access to the vaccines? They are not eligible to receive the vaccines. And so we have really lost a tool in our toolbox for our schools to not have that local decision-making authority to be able to require that people, that everyone wear masks, which is what the CDC is now recommending, because the Delta variant of COVID is highly contagious, and we know it's an airborne type spread of this virus. So I really think that this has been a setback for our schools to not be, have the local decision-making authority.
So let me be devil's advocate there. I don't think that you've lost local control when the parents can still mandate it. Like Dr. Christ on this show last week said, she's got two children too young to get the vaccine, and her children will be wearing masks when they go back to school. What makes the school districts more qualified to implement a mandate versus parents doing what's best for their children and ultimately making the decision?
Well, historically, the way the policies have worked in Arizona with local control is that if, you know, right now in 13 out of the 15 counties, we have high and substantial spread of COVID-19. So typically the school leaders would work with the county health department to determine what policies are needed to protect their communities. And I have to make very clear, at the end of the day, Governor Ducey and I are aiming for the same thing. We want kids back in the classroom, learning in person with their teachers. But if we're not doing everything we can to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in our schools, it becomes an operational nightmare. And we've already seen this. We've already had, in some of our schools that have already started this school year, there's been one district that had to close schools this week because operationally they did not have enough staff to be able to serve their students. We've had entire classrooms have to go into quarantine in other districts. So we are we're not doing everything we can to prevent these types of situations. We want our kids back in the classroom learning, but when COVID-19 is spreading and people are testing positive or they're exposed and they have to, and they can't be back in the school building, then we're creating a situation that is the opposite of what Governor Ducey and I want. We want kids back in the classroom.
But don't you think if you give parents, the parents have the same access to information that you do at the, not you, but your office, but also the district level has. Informed parents will make informed decisions about their kids. Why shouldn't the parents have the final say on whether or not their children have to wear a mask to school?
I guess I just don't presume that every parent has the time to do the research, to talk to their medical experts. I know I just don't assume that every, you know, that sometimes there's language barriers, there's all kinds of challenges. So I just don't assume that everyone has the same information or the same time to do the research. And so that's why it's important for the public health experts to make recommendations and for people who are in leadership roles to provide that steady leadership of relaying the information and educating their communities about what's best practice.
Let's shift to staffing, because you alluded to that a few moments ago about staffing. How much of that staffing issue do you think is teachers leaving the profession versus teachers that are making a stand like we saw with sick outs and other things during the pandemic in the last school year? Which do you think is more prevalent?
At this time, I would say it's neither. It's more. So what we saw in the Ash Fork School District this past week is they said they had too many positive cases of staff, of essential workers, including their bus drivers and teachers, so that they unfortunately were not able to offer in-person instruction for this week of school. And then they plan to resume in-person learning next week. And so what we're seeing is an operational challenge That the teachers want to be in the classroom, and I've already done some school visits over the past week or so, and everyone is so excited to have a great start to the school year. But we're also very disappointed that we have to deal with this again, another school year of the pandemic. It's very frustrating, but there's also a lot of excitement and enthusiasm to get back to have a normal school year.
Kathy Hoffman is joining me. She is the superintendent of public instruction. As far as staffing goes, there's a new story printed today that there's been a slight decline in district schools, but charter schools have seen a 14% increase in staffing, and online schools 136%, which is obvious because we've switched to a lot of online with COVID. What do you attribute the increase in charter schools and the decrease in district schools to? Do you have any idea of any data on why that's happening?
Honestly, I haven't heard too many specifics about the why behind that that mobility of shifting around from district to charter. That is very interesting and something we should definitely keep looking into. But the online piece makes a lot of sense to me because we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of online programs offered here in Arizona.
Do you think that there are any positives that have come out from what, let's say, districts or what your office has learned about educating online opportunities? Is there some positive changes that came out of the forced changes because of COVID?
Absolutely. I think, Arizona is known for being very innovative when it comes to education models. And I think that we're going to continue to see more of that. Now, we've learned so much through the pandemic, and many of our districts and charters have now created brand new online programs, which they intend to continue offering even after the pandemic. And then speaking with students, I have a student advisory council. And so we know directly from our students that some of them loved learning in an online environment and they thrived, but I will say it's not for every student. Many students need to be in the classroom and have those wraparound supports and have more like hands-on opportunities in the classroom, but there are definitely students out there who have preferences towards online education. So I think it's great to have these options, and I think that is just another example of how innovative Arizona is.
Well, Ms. Hoffman, I appreciate the time as always. I know it's a busy time of year, and as schools are opening back up again, there's some new challenges, and I appreciate you coming on and talking to the audience about them.
Thank you, Mike.